Hi, I'm Nick Gregoriadis, and this is the Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood Podcast. The show for grapplers and martial artists that want to evolve both on and off the mat. Coming up in this episode of the Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood Podcast is my new friend, Brent Berniston. I met Brent when I was teaching a seminar at his academy in Los Angeles, Subconscious BJJ. This was about a year ago, and during that time we've developed a friendship. He is a wonderful human being, and I think he's got a lot to offer the world, and that's why I wanted to have him on the show. So before we dive into a pretty fun and in-depth conversation with Brent, I just want to remind you guys to keep supporting the Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood by leaving us a review on iTunes or getting your next gi, belt, rash guard, or hoodie from store.jiu-jitsubrother.com. And when you do that, use the coupon code podcast and you'll get 10% off anything in the store. And also to support our CBD sponsor, which is truthnaturals.co.uk. If you use the code JJBTruth, you'll get a good discount off your first order. And I've just noticed that they've added a whole range of new products, including CBD gummies, which are pretty cool. I haven't tried their ones in particular, but I love gummy sweets and I use CBD. So putting those two things together sounds like a recipe for something cool. I actually just messaged the owner and asked him to send me my first sample of their CBD gummies. I'm looking forward to trying those. Also, guys, if you want to get a membership to what I believe is the best online jiu-jitsu academy, the Master Academy, which is the thing I've been working on for the last 2 years, head on over to jiu-jitsumasteracademy.com and check it out. You can also use the coupon code podcast to get 10% off any of the membership plans there. Okay, guys, let's dive right in to episode 57, Brent Berniston. Enjoy. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood Podcast, and I'm with my buddy Brent Berniston, who runs my favorite place to train in Los Angeles, which is Subconscious BJJ. Brent, how are you, my brother?
Man, doing well. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, for sure. So Brent and I just spent some time in the Joshua Tree National Park, just outside Los Angeles. And man, that was wild, Brent. I really appreciate you taking me there, bud. That was a beautiful place.
Yeah, man, that was a lot of fun. Awesome.
It's you told me that's the place you go to just escape when everything just gets a little bit too much, right?
Yeah, you know, here in LA, you know, it's so congested, and I'm originally from Indiana, so I come from kind of a, you know, rural area, and so growing up or staying out here, it's nice just to get out of town every once in a while.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I just. You know, I just before we went to Joshua Tree, I'd spent a couple of days, just a weekend in Los Angeles with a close friend of mine from England. We did a little road trip. And man, I was saying to you that is, Los Angeles is just the strangest fucking place, dude. It is the weirdest place. I don't know what it is, but it's, I don't want to describe it as negative or positive, but there's just some very strange kind of energy in that city. And I think if you live there for too long, it can eventually drive you crazy if you're not very careful.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's like I said, I just don't think this many people were meant to be around each other all the time, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
It's kind of got to find your little tribes and you know, spend some time out of the city for sure.
Mm-hmm. What is the thing you enjoy most about living there?
You know, probably the same thing that I don't like living here, and I think that's the people. You know, mm-hmm. LA is a crazy place where you have like some of the coolest people you ever meet in your life, kind of filtered in with a bunch of people that probably aren't, you know, as cool as most places. You know, yeah. So it's a very strange place. You know, like I said, there's so many cool little gems here, but you just gotta, you know, search it out and find them. Mm-hmm. or let them come to you, you know, I guess.
Yeah, when you said there's some strange people, I mean I'm reminded of the story that happened to me on that weekend, the past weekend just before we went to Joshua Tree. I was staying at a friend of mine's place. He's got a really nice apartment in a high-end complex, and it's got this beautiful rooftop pool and hot tub. And I think it was Saturday night or something. We were chilling on top of this rooftop, just enjoying ourselves, having beers, relaxing. And one of his other friends arrives, and he's got like this two young girls, one on each arm, these 20-year-old model types. And they jumped in the hot tub, and we were all chatting, and I get chatting to this guy, and turns out he had done jiu-jitsu back in the day, like way back in the day, like I think he was a purple belt 20 years ago or something. And look, it became pretty apparent to me after a while that the dude was probably a drug dealer, right? Like, I mean, I can't guarantee that he was, but I don't know, dude, there was just something weird about the whole situation. And after he left, I said to my other buddy, I said, "Oh, that's an interesting character, don't you think?" And he just said, "Man, I see this all the time. He is what I call someone who is lost in Hollywood." It's just these kind of people. They just kind of, it's so difficult to describe, but they go to LA because there's such a draw and the lights are so bright, and then things don't quite work out the way they expected, and then they just kind of, I don't know, they don't get to that superstar status, but then they're in the place where you need superstar status to really shine, and then they kind of become these strange caricatures. I just find that so fascinating about that city.
Yeah, it's almost like they're vampires, you know? Like the city just like takes it from them, you know? And they just and then they kind of feed upon others afterwards. It's a
I can see
strange
that.
thing.
And it's what a crazy place, dude. If anyone's listening to this out there that hasn't been to LA, I would suggest you go to check it out. It's just one of those things you have to see at least once in your lifetime, you know?
Oh yeah, and it is. It's like I said. It's a lot of fun. I mean, there's a lot of fun to have here. The weather's beautiful. I mean, there's so many upsides to this place. You know, you just have to said you have to deal with some of the negative as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'd never run it down. It's strange and difficult, and there are a lot of issues with it, but Jesus, it's still a magical place, dude.
For
Not a doubt
sure.
about it.
Yeah.
There's that one film with can't remember the name, but Sean Penn was in it, and he was a gangster. Like, he was basically the villain of the story, and he'd moved out from the East Coast. This was set in the 1920s or 30s. He'd moved out from New York, and one of his colleagues came out to join him, and he was saying to his colleague, "You're saying there's just something about this place. There's something in the air." And that's exactly how I feel whenever I'm in not just LA, but California in general. There's just something in the air in that state, dude. There's something about it. It's really special.
Yeah, definitely.
Good energy. Brent, my brother, enough about LA. Please tell me how you came to be doing this crazy thing that we call jiu-jitsu.
I was one of the guys who started, I started martial arts. I was 6 or 7 doing judo. And my father was a boxer. And so, I grew up, in the gym a lot with him and hitting pads and doing all that. And my mom, she didn't really want me to be a boxer. So she enrolled me in judo. And I just kind of took to it. I was always watching ninja movies and all that kind of things. And then even pre-UFC, a friend of mine that I went to high school with, he and I kind of, I mean, we were huge Bruce Lee fans. And, we kind of, he trained in karate and I was doing judo and boxing. And we kind of started training with each other. And we knew that, like somewhere in the middle, kind of like Bruce Lee with, mixed martial arts. And so when the first UFC was UFC, I think I saw the first, well, I definitely saw the first UFC, but it wasn't until probably the second one where I was like, man, I got to learn that. Whatever that little skinny Brazilian guy's doing, I got to learn it. And, I started, going to seminars. They would, Hoist would go up to Chicago and, we went to one in Indianapolis and, some other, oh, up in Michigan. And we just started going to these seminars. And, eventually I came out to California a couple of times to train at the Gracie Academy. And, after college, I packed up my things and basically moved to California just to get my black belt. And yeah, and it was crazy because, I did it at a time. It was, late 99, 2000. And you know, at that time, there weren't a lot of American black belts. So, you know, it was something I didn't know. I didn't know how long it was going to take me. I was like, I'm just going to move there. I was like, I don't care if it takes me 20 years, whatever. You know, I'm going to get my black belt. And the original plan was to move back to Indiana, or such, maybe Chicago or someplace like that, and start a school. But after being out here for a while, it was hard to leave, you know. I gotta be honest, didn't want to go back to the cold. So
Yeah, dude, I don't blame you one bit. I don't blame you one bit. You know, let's talk a little bit more about your dad. You know, so just to preface it, Brent and I were in Joshua Tree and with my other friend Simon, and we were sitting in this little cave that we found, just having a chat about life and the nature of reality. And you started speaking about your dad, you know, and you said something that it's been playing through my mind for since that conversation. You said that your dad is the greatest man you ever knew, and that really struck me to my core, because as I told you later on that trip, you know, I love my dad very much, and he's a lovely man, but he's definitely not the greatest man I've ever met. And I'd just love to hear a little bit more about that, in particular, like his boxing career, and why you feel you can make such a powerful statement.
Well, 100%. You know, my dad passed away September 26 last year. But and it's been a definitely a you know, a struggle for sure. Especially, like I said, he was how do I say it? It's one of those things where I couldn't imagine having a better father, you know. Like, there's absolutely zero excuses I can put on, you know. You know, I hear so many, you know, friends and just people in general say, you know, something bad about a parent, or they caused this, or this is why this, or you know, whatever, or be a victim of a situation. And it couldn't be further from the truth. You know, in my case, it couldn't be further from the truth. I mean, he attended every single, I mean, game I ever played. You know, I grew up, I was, you know, a pretty good athlete, so I played a lot of different sports, and he never missed a game, not once. I mean, he barely missed a practice, you know, and so he was always there, and he was, you know, he did everything that he possibly could and more to give me a good childhood, you know, and it, just an honorable man, you know, somebody that was just, like I said, I can't think of, or I know I'll never meet a better person ever, you know,
It's
and,
I find it interesting because it's been my experience that a lot of the people in martial arts, strange enough, especially the ones that stand out, are usually guys that have had some kind of father issue, whether it was their father pushed them really hard, or their father wasn't in the picture, or they were trying to prove something to their father. It's so common, it's almost a cliche, you know, that the you know Mike Tyson's a perfect example, never knew his dad. And I just find it, the whole thing, pretty fascinating, and it's cool to speak to someone. I mean, I know in my case it was, I think, largely always trying to prove something to my dad, and I'm guessing your dad never really put that on you. He never expected you to prove something to him, and that's probably the reason why you wanted to step up and be the best you could be, just because he didn't force you to. You know, you just wanted to show him out of it came from a good place, not a bad place, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I guess too, it's like, growing up, you know, I think there's a couple ways when you're just dealing with people to motivate them or to get them to go or, you know, whatever. But, you know, like my dad, I just never wanted to disappoint him, you know? So there wasn't like this, oh, I'm going to prove you wrong. You know, I was driven by, you know, just not want to disappoint him, or, you know, excel for him, I guess, you know. And you know, with him being a boxing, you know, he boxed and he was a coach. And you know, he loved every minute of even my martial arts stuff. You know, he would come to practices, you know, when he would come out to LA to watch and stuff. And
That's
you
fantastic.
know, and you know, even at his funeral, there were some kids that, you know, he had changed their life, you know.
Really?
And you know, just sitting there and listening to their stories and talking about, you know, how they had never, you know, maybe in their life, you know, like they didn't have, you know, parents that really supported them or, you know, were there for them. And he was that person. You know, there's a couple of them that was like, you know, no one loved me more than, you know, Ray Burniston. You know, no one believed more in me than that man, you know.
And
And
what I really appreciated about your dad's story, at least the aspects of it that you related to me, is he didn't have an easy life on many levels. And
yeah.
it would be one thing if he was like some trust fund kid and
Right.
like lived an easy life and just put out good energy. You know, that's not difficult, but it's
Yeah.
when you are faced with hardship after hardship and you still find time to love people and care for people and give them your energy and maintain a good approach to life and the world. That's what I
Yeah.
truly respect. And so, yeah, that's what I love about the story of your dad.
Yeah, you know, and like, you know, it's so easy to be a victim, you know. It's so easy to make excuses or think, you know, somebody's holding you down or whatever that is in life. And you know, at some point you have to be responsible for yourself, you know, for your choices, you know. I mean, down to, you know, where you're going and what you're going to be. I mean, at some point you have to be responsible for that. And you know, he did, you know, he did everything to the best of his abilities. And you know, he really affected a lot of people.
Now, do you not think that there is maybe room for a little bit of interpretation within that idea of having to be responsible for yourself, and that maybe there is a little bit of leniency required? And the reason I say that is you related the story to me about your dad being, it's my understanding he was a beyond Golden Glove champion. He was actually a national
Yeah.
champion. Is that right?
Yeah, well, he was a national finalist, I think 64 and maybe 65 or 66. I'm not quite of the dates. I know 64, that was one of his better years. But yeah, he was, you know, one of the top, you know, top three, top five guys in the country at the time. Yeah, he was you know, he was pretty darn good. And he talked about it a little bit, but most of the stories and things that I got were from his friends that told me,
That's
you know,
great.
like
That's how
he
you
was,
know. It's legit.
yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, where I was going with that is it's my understanding he was due, he had a shot to get on the Olympic team, and
Yeah, it was 64.
he
Yeah.
beat the guy who made the team. It's my understanding that he had someone, an older gentleman who was a fan of his style of boxing and watched all his fights. And this
Yeah.
guy was he had he was a man of means, and he offered to pay for everything for your dad to go to the training camp.
Yeah.
And your dad didn't take it because he didn't feel right about it. And
Yeah, he was, you know, he was proud. He was, you know, he worked for everything he ever got. You know, and it was really the thing that he regretted the most, I think, in life was that he didn't take that chance. You know, there's a gentleman, and he's still around, who lived in my hometown there, and you know, loved watching him box, and you know, would travel and stuff. And yeah, he offered to, from my understanding from my dad, is that he offered to pay for everything, you know, get him out there, and you know, and my dad just, yeah, he was too proud, you know. He couldn't accept it, and you know, said later on he, you know, kind of regrets it, but it was
Like
that's
it's just
just who
part of
he
his
was.
identity, yeah.
Yeah,
You know,
that's who he was.
this isn't exactly a one-for-one comparison, but there's something that I think about often. It's one of those, I guess I call them prime thoughts or master thoughts that make up my worldview. And It's a quote by the woman who started the Huffington Post, Arianna Huffington. And she said, life is a dance between making things happen and letting things happen. And I wonder if a guy from your dad's generation was so programmed that you've got to do everything. Like, if you want something in this world, you have to take it. You have to work hard. You have to basically kill yourself. You know, and so he's gone, he's in that dance, he's just gone too far to the making things happen and hasn't taken any of the letting things happen type thing. And then the other end of the extreme is like some of these law of attraction, new age people who think they could just sit on their couch eating pretzels and all their dreams are going to come true. I don't know. Well, would you have any perspectives on that or?
Well, I certainly, yeah. I mean, he always, preached hard work, and I mean, even in his kids that he coached, and he pushed them, both physically and mentally. He was a great motivator without yelling. And I think that's a really good quality to have as a coach, and it's a different approach. I mean, there are people out there like Bobby Knight who can, scream at a kid and motivate them and get them to, really perform. I know a lot of times out of fear, a fear of, not, messing up, or so they're focused or whatever. But that's never been really my style or my dad's style,
Yeah, I don't think fear is a, I mean, beyond being a survival, a good mechanism for survival, I don't think fear is necessarily to be put on a pedestal and, or you want as little fear in your life as possible, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. So, Brent, you know, you have one of the more interesting jiu-jitsu academy names and logos that I've ever seen. It's actually, you gave me one of your t-shirts for subconscious jiu-jitsu, and it's one of my favorites. I wear it all the time. So tell me, how did you come up with that name? I asked you once and we didn't quite get into it, but I could see there was something to it.
Well, when I first opened up an academy, I started renting space out of a karate school, and it was right after, shortly after I got my black belt and opened up a school, and I didn't have a name. So I just used the school was in Burbank, so it was just Burbank BJJ. And I knew I was going to change it. I just didn't know, it had to be the right name and it had to feel right. And couldn't figure out, and I kept thinking and thinking. And so, I sat down one day and I took a piece of paper and I just started writing down everything that I wanted my school to be. And about the third thing down the list is I said submission conscious, or be submission conscious, always looking for the submission, always looking to finish, and I was like, wait, subconscious, and I always wanted it to also, the name to have some type of and during that time, I guess I was going through some spiritual, finding myself and doing all these things and, reading about the subconscious mind, and I was just all kinds of different things. And so when that came out on the piece of paper, I was like, oh my gosh,
This is it.
subconscious. This is
Yeah.
it. It has a couple meanings, and so one just being, the subconscious mind, at work during jiu-jitsu, and then also being submission conscious. And so, yeah, I knew from that point forward that was it, and the logo kind of came. Probably I started out with a logo for about a year. There again, it was kind of the same thing. I wanted a cool logo. I kind of made something up, wasn't really happy with it, and then I drew something out, and one of my students, he's an artist, and he ended up making the final touches on it and
Okay.
came out to what it is right now.
What does that logo mean to you? I mean, is it something you can describe? And for those, I'll put a picture up on the post of the podcast of the logo. But What does it mean? Because it seems to me that there's something deep to that.
Well, the head, if you look at the head or the what would looks kind of like the head of the little man with the arms, the head is basically his head turned into the third eye. And so it's just, fully open. And it kind of goes with the what's it called? Da Vinci, is it Da Vinci, the Vitruvian Man or whatever it's
Oh,
called?
Vitruvian man,
Yeah. So it
I
was
see
kind
it
of,
now, yeah.
yeah. So, it's kind of has the little sacred geometry things going on with that. The third eye, and, kind of moving forward.
Interesting.
Obviously the triangle represents base. And, you have the infinity, hands and feet,
That's
I should
cool.
say.
I
Yeah.
never even noticed that. That's really cool. That's
Yeah.
fantastic. It's interesting how a friend of mine actually pointed this out to me. He was looking at the old school Gracie logos, like the original Gracie Baja logos, and almost all of them have a triangle featured, even like Hickson's
Yeah.
thing. And I found that quite interesting. And he said, yeah, that the triangle is a very, especially the up-pointed one, when the point on top is a very masculine, dominant symbol that's designed to evoke a sense of kind of ambition and drive. And I found that I'd never noticed it before, and then I finally understood why they did that, and it makes sense to me. Interestingly enough, you have an inverted triangle, which I'm it's my understanding that's evocative of the feminine, which is not necessarily to say that it's like you guys have wussy jiu-jitsu or anything.
Yeah, no, but yeah, like it's more like Mother Earth being feminine, so it has kind of that whatever you want to call.
Yeah, I get it. I totally get it. So, Brent, you mentioned earlier, you spoke about this logo came about when you were going through a bit of a spiritual transformation. Can we talk a little bit more about that? Obviously, that is my largest field of interest, is that kind of stuff. I find it fascinating, and I think we're all on a spiritual trip, whether we want to believe it or not. Can you share a little bit about how that came about?
Yeah, well, I think, it was just during a difficult time period in my life where, I was dealing with a breakup and, and just being out in California pretty much, by myself. I'd been here for a few years, and wasn't really happy in necessarily my career. I was kind of just down and out on a lot of levels. And
Quite literally down and out in Beverly Hills.
yeah, right. And I started just kind of questioning a lot of different things, and I just went on my own kind of spiritual, conquest, I guess, just trying to figure out what it was that made sense to me and make sense of all this,
And let's say, hypothetically speaking, you had a son, and you wanted to save him the difficulties of that journey and give him just the Cliff Notes, like the three most important things you found out. What would they be?
One would be choose your own path. It's so easy to kind of get stuck in what others do, and I think it just in general we kind of model ourselves. What's the next guy doing? What's this person doing? What's this? And very rarely do we ever like just sit down and take an honest look at what it is that we need or want. It's I really feel, especially the spiritual path is, each of us have our own path, our own truth. I never hold anyone else's truth. I kind of, so even with some of my students and stuff that ask me these type of questions, I always try to point them in the right direction. Show them a couple books. a couple of different websites, listen to podcasts like yours, just kind of find your own way. I would say that's probably one of the
Okay. Yeah, that's a great one. Yeah. What when you the book you mentioned you'd recommend some books. I mean, this is closely tied to the previous question. What books would you recommend, like, if we had to narrow it down to one or two?
Oh man. Oh, there's so many good ones.
If I ask you the question, what has been the most profoundly influential book? What's the first thing that comes to mind?
I would say, whew, there's a couple though, because both there's been some spiritually and then some business-wise.
Let's go with the spiritual ones.
Spiritual ones, of course. I mean, something like Siddhartha has been big to
Yeah,
me.
I just read that a few months ago. It's a great book. Absolutely great book.
I like a lot of Ram Dass. I'm really into like Polishing the Mirror. I thought was there was some really good things in there that just really connected the dots for me. Let's see. Trying to think right off the top of my head of some of my books at home. Anything Osho? I mean,
Oh,
Osho, the
yeah,
man.
he's a legend, yeah.
I really, really enjoy a lot of his work as well. I would say I would probably start with some of the Osho stuff. That's been really beneficial in my life.
Same. I can honestly say the same thing. Yeah, Brent, I mean, the reason I wanted to have you on the show, it's I don't know if it's possible to get this across in a medium like podcasting, but whenever I'm around you, I always just get the feeling that this guy is grounded. You know, there's just like a very calm level energy. And I don't know if it comes across in the show, but I hope it does. And that's why I asked you, because you know, it's one thing to claim to have spiritual beliefs and then you're a total dickhead and you kick puppies, you know, like, but
Welcome to LA.
exactly. You definitely have opened a window onto that state of being that I think a lot of people in the world are searching for, and I think the world would be a better place if more people found it. You know, I can't even. It's so difficult to put it into words. Go train with Brent, and you'll see. Brent, I thank you so much for your time, my brother. If people are in LA or want to come to LA and they want to do some jiu-jitsu with you, where can they find out more about subconscious jiu-jitsu?
Yeah, we're in North Hollywood, California, 4868 Lankersham, just by the North Hollywood sign, if you're familiar with the area. Instagram, I put quite a bit of stuff on Instagram. That's just Subconscious BJJ. But yeah, it's just a bunch of cool people, man. Here training, learning. We try to, throw out the ego, and it's just a bunch of really cool people. I've been blessed by the students that walk through the door. I mean, I couldn't be
The
more
world is your
happy.
mirror, my brother. Just reflections of you,
Well,
right?
I certainly. I don't know what it is, but it's certainly a place where I'm really proud of. I'm really proud that it's here, it's up, and it's running. Sometimes I'm, it just pinch myself,
For sure. My brother, thank you again for your time, and I really look forward to seeing you again very soon.
Yeah, brother, we'll talk soon.
Hope you guys enjoyed that one as much as I did. I really meant it when I said Brent is someone who's just got a really wonderful presence, and you can tell instantly when you're around him that he's operating at a very high frequency. That is his academy, Subconscious BJJ, is the place I always visit to train when I'm in LA. I've trained at quite a few places. There are some good, some bad, and his is without question the best when it comes to hands-on instruction and also just vibe. His students are always friendly and always willing to help, and there's no attitude there. So I highly recommend if you want to head out to Southern California, to the what people call the Mecca of Jiu-Jitsu these days, and you're looking for a place to train in LA, check out Subconscious BJJ. You guys will be back in a week or two with another episode. Until then, peace out.